is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Recording in progress.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, the 8th of December, and it's a little after 11 o'clock. This is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as I continue a discussion with a local religious chapter. It's a group of men who are Israelite, right? And I wanted to understand the religion more and to know more in detail. I have their captain. The captain is Nathaniel. The captain is... Give me the name of the captain again.
Camuel.
I'm waiting on him to come on to Zoom so I can continue the conversation with him. And also I have the local membership and also their lead person here also so I can ask them questions. The conversation will be today about how did the sect got started in the Bahamas and the role that Captain Camuel plays and the role that Elijah, and I forget the other gentleman's name. Nehemiah. And they all have biblical names, by the way. And apparently, that's too a part of religion. And I want to actually even understand that. But as a protocol and a respect to their captain, I want to formally introduce Captain Camuel first. And I want him to give a short overlay again, explanation on who are the Israelites. And I'm trying to call the right name. So if I stutter and you see me call the wrong name, Captain Camuel, is no insult. Just correct me and say, no, Nuri, it's this. And so we can continue that conversation smoothly. That's good for you, Captain Camuel? Can you hear me? You disappear?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. I was just making sure you can hear me. So let's start. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Yes. Basically, who are the Hebrew Israelites? Why is it just Israelites? Are you Jews? When did the religion started formally in general? And then I'll move on and speak to the local chapter here and head for that. But I wanted to understand what is a Hebrew Israelite or what is an Israelite? And what sets you apart from the other grouping, because I understand there is also a number of Hebrew Israelites chapters or independent chapters. I'm trying to get the right wording. That is not necessarily you. Did you get all of that?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, it's all yours. You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's first off by announcing that we are Israel United in Christ. We were started in 2003 by Bishop Nathaniel. Out of Bishop Nathaniel and the three families, Bishop Nathaniel, Bishop Galasop, Bishop Kanai, and the fruits of their labors, what you see now is Israel United in Christ. We are not affiliated with the other Israelite groups. You are correct in stating that there are multiple Israelite groups. All right, we are not Hebrew Israelites. We are Israelites. All right, you got that?
Yes, I'll pause and ask this, right? Bahamians are familiar with the term Hebrew Israelites. And I know from the last time you were here, you educated me and said, no, that's not our proper name. We are Israelites. And you give your formal name, which is Israelites United in Christ. And you explain it to me that there are a number of different, in quotes, Hebrew Israelites group right, who have similar beliefs to what you believe in, but you are under the leadership and direction of a Bishop Nathaniel. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Good. And so I just wanted my listening audience to know that not all Israelites are the same. They're a different grouping, all right? And that this particular sect is called the Israelites United in Christ, and that they have their own formal doctrine and own formal leadership, and that you all are members of that.
Well, when you say formal doctrine,
and you're kind of breaking up, so I'll pause and see, make sure you're able to hear me properly.
Proverbs.
Captain Cameron, we didn't get any of that. You broke up. Okay, and so as we get connected, he may have to log in and log out, right? I wanted to know the organizational chart, if you will, right? But I didn't formally introduce my guest. We have
Elijah,
yes, right? And we have
Nehemiah,
right? And these weren't your birth names, correct?
That's correct.
And as you were converted into to be Israelites, or accept that you are Israelites, I changed the word because you were already born Israelites, and just that you accept into to the religion. Part of your transformation, part of your movement forward. It was changing your name. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And explain that process of why was there a need for you to change your name as I get connected to Captain Kemuel again.
Well, everything we do is based on the scriptures, and if we read
1 minute for a minute, make sure that the producer can we hear him? I don't hear him on my.
I'm back. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay. 1 minute for me, Captain. Go ahead, Elijah. Let me see if I can hear you better.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. So yeah, your question reverting to why we changed our names is going back scriptural again, knowing that the names that were placed on us was from our slave masters, and the Bible tells us to gather together as a nation back again. So when we read the scriptures, it says that when you find out who you are, you're going to revert back to your kind or your nation, which is Israel. So we go with our name to our true nationality and not to our slave master's nationality.
So Nehemiah, you formally change your name or just call yourself Nehemiah?
Call myself Nehemiah. It's in the process.
In the process. So have you formally changed your name?
We had a few that changed their names, but me, I've not had.
Not as yet. But that's part of the process and part of the conversion that you will formally change your name.
Yes, sir.
And this will be your first name and a surname also, or just the first name?
Both names.
Both names change. That's part of the formal transformation, right?
Yes, sir.
And your chapter here, and I'm not sure the formal name of it, is called chapter or grouping. So correct me, whatever the right wording for that, right? How the membership in general, how many Bahamians, American Bahamians, people living here on the island.
Officer Elijah,
I've seen the captain talk to you.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Let's get his first answer, first question out the way. Get that in Isaiah 44:5, and then we'll go to the next one about the chapters. Because he asked about the changing of our names. Because what we have to understand is, as Israelites, we went into many captivities, okay? And then we were renamed and we were reclassified. So many of us have the names of our oppressors. So this was prophesied in the Bible. Let's get that, Isaiah 44:5.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 44 and verse 5. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel.
So that's why these brothers, including myself, we have taken on the name of our father. We are the sons of Israel. There's 12 tribes, okay? Our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's 12 tribes of Israel. So a lot of our brothers in the Bahamas would be from the tribe of Benjamin, okay? I myself here in North America am from the tribe of Judah.
but we will rename ourselves Israel. All right.
So, Captain Lemuel, how do you choose your name? Like, I like Nehemiah as a name, right? I like Israel as a name, you know, but how is it chosen?
Well, we choose our names. We go into the scriptures and we choose our names, but understand something. These names, even the names that we choose, are not going to be the names that we end up with, okay? When Christ returns and the kingdom is established, he said we will get our new names, okay?
Okay, I have a text. I want to read it before I ask the next question, right? It says, good day, Mr. Nuri. Awesome show. I have been watching Israel United in Christ for the past 2 years, 9 months online. Best thing that could have happened to me. I do need to call Captain Elijah in to join. All praises. So I, that's someone who, I mean, they promote you to captain already. I want to ask you this, Captain, because I know you're the head, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're the head of this division, and you're separated by division, and there's a captain, and then there's other offices. Can you go down the listing of positions? You're the captain. I mean, there's a bishop, first of all. Then there's other offices, then the captain, and then there are officers in charge. I just want to understand that.
Okay, well, the thing is that there's order, okay? God is about order. Get that first in 1 Corinthians 40, then we're going to go to this, and show that everything that we do is biblical, okay? When Paul was on the earth and he was going around to the tribes that were scattered, what was he doing? He was setting up churches and setting in order men in those churches. So let's get that first in 1 Corinthians 14, 40.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14 and verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Chapter 1, verse 5, because you're correct. We have our bishops, deacons, captains, officers, and all of these are biblically based. But let's see how this order is set up.
What scripture was that, Exodus 18 and 5?
Titus chapter 1, verse 5.
Yes, sir. This is the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee.
Go ahead, Captain. You disconnect again? So as we connect to the Captain, I want to continue the conversation till he comes on. Who is the leader? So, 1 minute for me, Captain. Who is the leader of the local chapter here? And as I mean, in terms of leader, the position, the top position, and then I'll let the captain explain that from his point of view as captain.
Well, captain is over this division, and then it would be myself.
And what are you? What is your position called?
I'm an officer.
You're an officer, and I see he addressed you as officer, right?
Correct.
And what does an officer do?
Just spearheads, just leads whatever comes down the board to make sure it's dispersed evenly and make sure everything is in order.
Okay, and I let me make sure that the two other gentlemen who are here, do they have any position inside the local chapter here? What are their positions? Oh, Nehemiah, go ahead. You tell me what the position.
I'm an officer as well.
You're an officer as well, and the gentleman who reads everything?
I'm a soldier.
You're a soldier. So back to you, Captain. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you, and I have a caller who wants to speak to you shortly, so I'll, as soon as you answer this. The entire religion also seems military-based, with captains and officers and positions like that. I know the Salvation Army has something similar. Is your religion military-based?
Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's get that in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 10. This is what you are seeing before you, because, again, we as the lost sheep of Israel, right? We have lost our identity. Now what you're seeing is that we are waking up
to our identity. And let's see what the Bible prophesied about that.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 and verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army.
Read that last part again.
And stood up upon their feet an exceeding
great. That's what you're seeing now. As these brothers go out into the highways and hedges and bring forth the gospel, you're seeing that our people are now coming back to the truth of who they are. And read that again, Ezekiel 37 and verse 10 from the top.
Ezekiel 37 and verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army.
So that's what you're seeing before you see, eh?
I see where you're going with this. But I'm going to ask you another question, but I want the caller to engage you so you can answer again. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Caller, this is Voice along with you on your panel, Mr. Nuri.
It's good to hear you, Bremen. Go ahead. Let's ask the captain some things.
Justice, law, and order in this country. But before I make my comment, I would like to ask the brethren in which Bible they are reading from.
It's the King James Version
1611.
Bible. Well, see,
yes.
Number
1611
one,
King James.
Okay, I'm going to make my comment. Okay, number one, when you talked about back in slavery, okay, you even doesn't have the original book of the Bible. You don't have the scroll to understand what was happening way back then. So it's the same old when you talked about back in slavery. It's the same old slavery because the original book of the Bible or the scroll what was, what shall be, and what is?
Great question, Bremen. Let me allow the captain to answer. And basically, Bremen is saying, hey, we used to this Bible. This Bible, we already used to it. If you are part of original religion, the Hebrews, right? Why are you using the King James Version, which is a Anglo-Saxon variation? Why not go and look for the original scrolls and start a religion based on something deep and African or Hebrewish instead of this Anglo-Saxon type religion? Go ahead, Captain.
Okay. So first of all, get the do you have your Zondervan's Compact Bible Dictionary?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Let's get that the Bible about the 47 scribes. Let's read that first. You got the page, Liza?
Yes, sir.
All right.
They're looking for the page. And have you, but as they look for it, have you been to the Bahamas as yet, Captain?
Yes, I have.
I just wanted to know,
what
like,
a beautiful place, by the way.
Say it again?
Very beautiful place.
This is where God lives. Definitely the Bahamas is beautiful. We are blessed people, chosen people. I want to know how this chapter was started. You know, the brief description, I assume you came down and with a team and established the protocols. And I would like to know, like, how did you meet these Bahamians to start this religion? He's still looking for the particular thing.
That
he found it now. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, he found it now. He can go read now.
This is the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, King James Version. 47 of the best Hebrew and Greek scholars of the day were divided into 6 groups. 3 for the Old Testament, 2 for the New, and 1 for the Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
2 of the groups met at Oxford.
Now, that's all I need right there. The Bible was given to us, and we have 47 of the best Hebrew and Greek scholars of the day that were divided into 6 groups. So it was divided into the authorization. King James did not write, but he authorized the Bible, okay, the translation of the Bible in the English. And there were three sets of men for the Old Testament, two for the New, and one for the Apocrypha. And many of our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas are not familiar with the Apocrypha. All right. Are you familiar with the Apocrypha, C.A.?
Well, of course. But that is also included inside the Anglican and the Catholic Bible, the Apocrypha, right? So I am definitely familiar with it. But I know St. Paul said that don't worry about these extra doctrines. There's enough scripture within the Bible that could bring you closer to Christ. So I understand the need to know the history and knowledge, but we must first seek the kingdom first, before, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But go ahead and explain your point.
All right. Now, where was the first five books of the Bible written?
Where?
In Africa, Northeast Africa. Okay, so when you talk about African religions, we're not... We're not African, okay? If you get, matter of fact, get that in Galatians 4:26 on right quick. Because a lot of us, we claim to be Africans, but if I ask you what part of Africa you come from, most of our people do not know. Furthermore, how did we get to the parts of the earth like the Bahamas or Jamaica or the islands or America? How did we get there, C.A.?
I think part of
how did our forefathers get to?
I assume by slave ships.
By slave ships. Very good. Now, was that prophesied to happen to the Africans, or was that prophesied to happen to the Israelites?
See, I'm not familiar with the prophecy, so I'm not sure how to answer that question. But okay. I understand right. But remember, I want to know how the chapter here was started. So when you finish with this, let's get back to that and tell me that narrative.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just want to ask the first question, and then we'll go to the next one. Get that in Galatians 4:26. Read that, and then get Deuteronomy 28:68.
The book of Galatians, chapter 4, and verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
That's our motherland, okay? Jerusalem is our motherland. So
Jerusalem,
we are not,
and not
Africans.
Okay.
We are Israelites. Get that. Matter of fact, get Exodus 11 and 7, and then let's get Deuteronomy 28:68.
The book of Exodus, chapter 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
So you got two dark-skinned people, but the Lord said there's a difference. We are not Africans, C.A. We are the Israelites. Now let's go to the prophecy of how we got scattered.
No, but before we do that, Captain,
you can call yourself Bahamian.
And before we get there, Captain, because I know you had explained this to me before the last time we were on, but I still, and I think it's very prudent and important to Bahamians who are listening, we still want to know the narrative on how this chapter was started. So if you can, I know you came here. I want to know. Repeat that part again.
Okay, you want to know how they started.
I want to know how they started.
Bahamas.
Yes.
Right? You want to know how the Bahamas. Okay, 1 Kings 8, the start of 47.
This is the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 47. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness.
So this is what brothers. These brothers have repented. They understand who they are, and they're now beginning to keep the commandments of God. Now, how did they receive the word? Give me that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How did they receive the word? We have men that travel throughout the earth, throughout all the earth, all right, bringing forth the Bible in different tongues, okay, because scattered amongst the heathen, and we've taken on their customs, their names, their cultures, and their languages. All right, so let's read that right quick.
The book of Romans, chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him?
So now, it says, hold on. It says, how should we call on him whom we have not believed? We go out and we preach that we are the Israelites. Christ is a black man, according to learn that. They don't believe that. Read on.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
So, and Captain, I have one more caller who wants to engage you. Let me have them ask their question so you can actually have a response. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
But I guess I have to find the best one. I know most of us, and I've been taught growing up in church, that God is the supreme and there's nothing he cannot do. And I'm wondering if I can ask the captain to create a rock that he could not lift.
Repeat that question again. I didn't hear it.
Can God, which is the generator, the operator, destroyer, that's what I was taught that the word means, can he create a rock that he could not lift?
Go ahead, Captain, or anyone here.
I don't understand what he means by that.
I guess he's trying to say, can God be limited?
Fine. Don't worry about it. Then I get to ask another one. If you're going to have favorite individuals, like you favor Abraham over, you know, his seed, doesn't that set up a prejudiced world and there's going to be wars from then on? And because of that prejudice move, we have the Palestinians and the Israelis fighting today. Was it a smart idea to have a favorite group of people and you are God of all?
Thank you very much, Carl. Let you hang up so you can listen to the captain. Response.
If you can help me out with what he said, I think he asked about.
Want to know why you're calling yourself the chosen people, and wouldn't that cause problems amongst different African groups?
Well, yes, it would. And let me finish the first one about the chapter, and then I'm gonna get that. Go back to Romans 10:14, and then get 2 Ezra 6.
The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14.
We'll answer. God does.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
And how shall they hear without a preacher? So this word has gone out forth, and these brothers have received the word. And another place it says, my sheep will hear my voice. So these brothers down there in the Bahamas have heard this word. They have repented, and now what you're seeing is the fruits of their labor, and you have a chapter down there in the Bahamas. All right, so now the brother wants to know about a chosen people, a favorite people, and if that would cause problems with the other nations. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Ezra 6 and 54.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 54. And after these, Adam, also whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen.
You see that, C.A.? It says, God has made all people and the people whom thou hast chosen. Read on.
All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes.
Thou madest what?
Thou madest the world for our sakes.
Read verse 56.
As for the other people, which also come of Adam, thou hast said that they are nothing.
But so, P.A., for your caller, as for the other people that come from Adam, outside of the Israelites, God has said they are nothing. Now, let's see the controversy it caused. Get Psalms 83 and 2. Because it is a problem. But you know what? The Lord is, again, going back to what we started at the beginning, you're seeing an exceeding great army that's being risen up on the earth.
So you basically agree that it's basically part of religion is that it is an army.
No matter what these people.
Captain, so you would agree that part of the religion is that it's part of an army. You would agree that part of the religion is an army. That an army is being formed.
That's what it is. That's what it says in Ezekiel 37 and 10, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I see that. That's why I had to ask the question again, that this is an army of Israelites that you are creating or that has been created?
This is God's army.
God's army.
To make it plain. This is God's army.
I have another caller, so I let him read and then I let this caller come on to so he can actually engage you again. Go ahead and read that scripture with the captain wanted you to read.
Psalms 83 and 2.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult.
So God has enemies. Okay, CA, read on.
And they that hate thee have lift up the head.
Go ahead.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consult.
Now, who is God's people? We just read about them. They are the Israelites to whom he says the earth is given. He's given the earth to us for our sakes. Or he created the earth for our sakes. Okay, read on.
And consulted against thy hidden ones.
Mm-hmm.
And have said.
Why are we the hidden ones? Why are we the hidden ones, CJ? Because even today, you have people asking, what is my nationality? Who am I? Because that knowledge of who we are has been hidden in the earth. Read on.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Okay, I appreciate that. So Captain.
That's the controversy.
And Captain, I have another person wants to engage you. So let me have them ask their questions so we get as many questions put forward to you so you have an opportunity to answer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead.
And good morning to the gentleman. Respect. I agree with some of the stuff he's saying in that I'm well read in this history context. And we have become what the Europeans have called us. Firstly, I agree that we are not Africans because it's named after Africa Scipionis, right? It's a Roman general, right?
That's correct.
Scipio, right? And so we have become what they have called us. And so when one, just forget all the intricacies, when one look at the Sun Belt, there would obviously be black people from this area that we call in Israel and Egypt. But my question is, how is it that then that, well, we know all of these seeds came from Abraham, right? So how is it then that the Ethiopians and the Israelites were able to communicate to a cognate language, Hebrew and Aramaic? Those are cognate languages. That means they're able to understand one another. As you saw the encounter with the Enoch and the disciple. Now, Judah had five sons, right? And so Moses was a Levite. And so all of these came out of Jacob, which is Israel. And so you have 12 sons. So basically the Bible only speaks about Levi and Judah because you hear about Moses. And I have a chart just showing me who all is begotten from who. So the question then becomes, why are you focusing on the New Testament when we know that Paul influenced so many books of the New Testament when the original disciples, some of their books were suppressed and put inside what was suppressed and called the Lost Version, which in the versions were not really lost, but they were rather hidden and forbidden by the Roman papacy. So I agree that you will not be receiving the full history, but what I'm saying is, they hid the true history of the black Nubians, and they always hid the history of black influence in Europe. And so I'm looking at who has the monopoly on this religion of God, because like the previous caller said, why are we pretending that somebody has a monopoly on God? But what happens to the other sons of Abraham? Abraham had eight sons, but yet still the Bible only talks about Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. And so these other 12 tribes came out of Jacob. And then after the Great Tribulation period, remember, Judah and Benjamin was the ones who sought favor with the Lord because they returned after the Tribulation period and built the temple. And then you had the 10 pagan tribes to the north that blasphemed against God. So then who was rightfully, you know, I agree that we are the black Jews, right? But and we are not Africans because African is a construct. But it was also, that land was also known as Ethiopia, Al-Kubalan, and Abyssinia. And so what I learned is a lot of tribes in Africa are actually, before the Europeans arrived, were actually able to speak with one another, to cognate languages. But it's after the European, Africa's been under a siege for over 3,000 years. So after European influence, this is why they did this segregation to do just what they're saying they're doing. But I'm not buying in, the Bible is embellished. Especially the New Testament, you're supposed to be able to see that because you have the original disciples' book being suppressed, and you have the apostles, their book are overly influenced in the New Testament. All of the books are written by Paul, who went to Europe, got in problems with the original disciples and they plot to kill him in the city of Joppa, he went to Europe and started a new religion, enriching Constantine, I guess, their release orders, and he started this. But notice they killed Paul. So I'm very dubious about a lot of ideologies they're putting forward to me and you.
Okay, 52, let me let the captain explain that, because I have one more call I want to get to so the captain can engage. But go ahead, Captain, you have any response to that?
I want to ask your caller, so if he doesn't believe in the New Testament, does he believe in Christ?
And the caller is gone. And mind you, had asked that question the last time you were here. Why are you using the New Testament? But I went to research, and they're saying that you're basically Hebrews who believe that the Christ was the said on the internet. The chosen person or the person that was prophesied. So that's how you all embrace it?
All right. I want to read Hebrews 8:8 to you. Let's get that. He said, why are we using the New Testament? And the question I wanted to ask your caller was if he believes in Christ. Because if he doesn't believe in Christ, how does he atone for his sins? Let's read that.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
Uh-huh. Read.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Now I want you to jump over right quick to chapter 10, and I want you to read 4 through 8.
The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
So this is speaking of Christ, read.
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law.
The law of sacrifice, okay? Read on down to 10. So when we sinned, we had to atone for sin, okay? So if a brother does not believe in the New Testament, he doesn't believe in Christ, where is his atonement for sin? Read on.
Oh, no. Captain, I understand that. I don't need to belabor it. And I remember I have one or two callers who want to engage you, and I want you to have the opportunity to engage them as quick as possible.
But
you don't run out of time.
You understand?
But I understood it. You need atonement. Jesus did atonement.
Understand.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, and that's what I said. I quick with these things. I can interpret.
Yeah, because we don't have a temple. We don't have a temple to do sacrifice.
I understand that. But let me let this caller call in. And I want to ask you, are there any women inside your group? Because every time I see a grouping, there's always men inside a grouping. So I want to know if women can join this, right? But I'll ask that as soon as the caller put their question to you. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, you got the gentleman on today that I wanted to communicate with last week. However, I just tuning in, so I'm trying to figure, did you ask him the question that you asked him last week and he never responded to?
Repeat the question.
The question had to do with them being a hate group or a cult or something of that sort.
I can let the captain answer that right now. Let me go to the next caller so they get to ask the question so you can do both at the same time. Because there are a number of persons who are very concerned that your religion seemed a bit angry and that you're a hate group. And then, in fact, your bishop has been labeled as being a part of a hate group. So I want you to comment on that, Captain. But let me get this next caller. Caller, can you go ahead? Can you hear me? Caller? The caller, hang up. That's not a person there. Okay. So go ahead.
Let me answer that question.
Go ahead.
So the answer is no, we are not a hate group. You say we sound angry. Get that in Ecclesiastes 7 and 7. And we already read to you Psalms 83. So you have all these nations that are confederate, and crafty counsel is saying that we are a hate group. But yet, there's no proof that we've done any crimes against any crosses in anyone's front yards, or done any of the atrocities that have been done to us. Yet, with no proof, our people believe, just because the white man says that we're a hate group, that we're a hate group. What are you fearful of? All we're doing is bringing out the word of God. Read that, Ecclesiastes 7 and 7.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart.
Read that part again. Hold on. Read that part again.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart.
When you see the condition of our people, are you happy with the condition of our people being second-class citizens, CA?
I smile when you read the scripture, because I understand the point you're trying to make.
So for your listening audience, if it sounds like we're angry, we are angry. But the Bible says to be angry and sin not. And also that if it's possible to be at peace with all men. So we're not going out. We're not committing crimes against humanity. You know what we do, people, we teach them that they must keep the commandments. All right? That's what we do.
Hey, Cap, can I add something in there right quick? Get Galatians 4:16 for me. Because what happens, a lot of times we tell people about their sins, right? Don't eat pork. You can't celebrate Christmas. Birthdays are pagan. All these things that they're so used to. And what they do is they don't like that. They want to stay in the midst of their sin. So read that scripture right quick.
This is the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
And that's what happens. We tell people the truth about who they are, what they need to do to attain salvation, what they need to do to get back into the good graces with God. And because they don't want to, they want to stay in their whoredom. They want to stay in their maliciousness. We become enemies. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live. So that's why a lot of people say, hey, we are a hate group. But we're not. We, like the Cap said, we don't advocate. We don't condone. We tell people, hey, you got a brother next door selling, you know, you got to call the police. Hey, let them know.
So let me just call her, quickly ask this question. Go ahead, caller. Patrick, call her true producer. Go ahead, caller. Caller, got to be quick.
Yes, I'm calling the show.
Go ahead. You're on live.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I have 3 points that I want to mention in connection with this new group or set or whatever they call themselves.
But
the thing is, you know, I think situations like this comes up and it does is divide the church more and more. Because when Jesus, before he was crucified, when he prayed in John 17, he prayed that we may become one. And he spent a lot of his ministry, in fact, teaching about being one, the church. And then another thing I want to mention, Paul says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor Gentile, or whatever, but we are all one in Christ. So, if we're one in Christ, why are we bringing all these different these beliefs and trying to just make the world more disunified or the church more disorganized? And, you know, and that's what makes people don't want to even come to Christ, because it seems like there's so many different concepts. People have so much different ideas about the church and about God, but the bottom line is Christ came to die, to shed his blood, that we all may be saved, and that we may all be one in Christ. Because when Christ coming back, he ain't coming back for Jews, he ain't coming back for Israelites, he ain't coming back for Bahamians or anybody. He coming back for those who's been blood washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's who he's coming back for, people who are obedient to Christ and to God. So that's all I want to say today.
I appreciate the call. Let me get to the next caller. Thanks. Patch the next caller through so you can patch it. Then I want to talk with women. Why are women? Why are they missing? But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mr. Mary.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one more question for him. The
does he believe that a white person, a person of Caucasian, will make it into the kingdom of heaven, or do you think it's just a thing?
Well, you just go deep. You just go deep. Well, I appreciate that. I'll yield to that question, and then I have like seven more minutes there, and I want to talk about the women inside your religion.
The same question as the last caller.
Yes. So can white people make it into heaven, or only the black Israelites gonna make it there?
So there's going to be all the people are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. The question you should be asking is, what condition are they going to be in? Now, I want to address what the brother said before. Give 1 Corinthians 14 and 37. Because this is the misconception in the churches was taught about what Paul's teachings were, okay? Paul's teachings are hard to be understood. And so if you don't understand the things written in the Old Testament, you will not understand what Paul was teaching. Read that for me right quick.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
So Paul was writing and speaking about the commandments of the Lord. Paul also said, be ye followers of me as I am Christ. Give me Matthew 15, 24, and we go to the next scholar. What did Christ say? So Paul, being a follower of Christ, he didn't go off on his own and start teaching a new doctrine. He taught what Christ taught, and Christ said he came to do the will of his Father. Okay, so you would have to go in the law and find in the Old Testament where we were all joined together hand in hand and all loving one another as you've been taught in the Christian church, which is all lies. Let's read that.
Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
You see that? Christ didn't tell us to go and save all nations. Matter of fact, we were supposed to scatter amongst the nations. All right, go ahead to your next policy.
Okay, I want to talk about the women in your organization and their prominence. Yep. And I also want to talk about, because I have a texter who wants to know, how can they join? How can they get more information? And so I want to make sure that information is given. But let's talk with the women. Remember, I'm running out of time, so we got to be quick. And then let me get some information about how people can get more information.
Yes, sir. Titus 2 and 3.
The book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers.
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish that. Sir.
Yes, sir. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
So these are the qualities of the women that are in the organization. Okay, you don't see them out on the battlefield, which is when we go out to teach the word. But what we just read, this is what the women in our organization represent. All right, women.
What role do they play in the religion? Okay, I understand. I appreciate that they're not on the battlefield. That's for the men in the army. But what do they do?
We just read it. They support the organization by support the organization by the qualities of what we just read right there. These are the things that they're taught to do under the teach our daughters.
And let me ask Nehemiah.
And CA, if I may say,
go ahead.
I was in a church for many years. And you know what you see in the Christian church? You see much whoredom. Okay, you don't see the laws being applied. So that's the difference. And when you see our women, you see holy women that are upholding the commandments of the Lord.
Nehemiah, you're married, right?
Yes, sir.
And your wife is a part of this religion also?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you too?
That's correct.
Young gentleman is married also? So we need to find you an Israelite wife, yeah, so we can work on that. And where do you all meet? How often is the worship? Which days? How do people get in contact with you to say, hey, I want to learn more about religion because it suits me. I understand what you're trying to say.
Okay, well, generally, you could go on YouTube and type in Israel United in Christ, and you could find all of our chapters no matter where you are on the earth. But right here in Nassau, we had our all-purpose way at East Street, upstairs where the old Barbies used to be. Our phone contact is 677-9911.
Give the contact again.
677-9911. You can find us on any Saturday. The doors are open, free for the public, at 3 p.m.
And why Saturday? Because I went looking for you for the meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And I went there on a Monday. You weren't there. I went there on a Tuesday. It's like, y'all close up. Why Saturday is it so important?
Now, the school always has a different function. Sometimes we open all through the week, but Saturdays is the Sabbath day, the Lord's Sabbath, that we have a holy convocation.
Okay.
So Saturday is the day.
Okay. And on a regular day, or Saturday, mm-hmm. Sabbath day, mm-hmm. Who conducts the service there?
The deacons, the captains, and the bishop.
And right now, you're basically the leader of the church. There aren't any deacons locally, chapter. There aren't any captains, because this is captain here. Mm-hmm. And so when you say there, how do they get to lead the sermon?
Online. There's a over the school, watch it online.
Okay. And you use the term school twice, right? Yes. Why do you use the word school?
Because it's a place of learning. We come there with our scriptures, ready to learn more about the history of who we are and the prophecies of what to come.
Okay. I just want to get that
we
out.
We are the church, according to the scripture.
You are the church. I just wanted to get that out, just because I had one or two people who were interested in the information you were giving out, and they wanted to know, how do you reach out to you? Which days is the Sabbath day? You said it's Saturday, and that day people can come freely and walk in and knock on the door and say, hey, welcome, and you be able to start guiding them through. And what about women, Bohemian women? Can they do that too? Just come up?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. We have more women than men in our
school. You have more women inside this church? Look at Bohemian women. Okay. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. Captain, I got to invite you again. It was a pleasure, but we got to go, and they play the music loud.
You see, I can say one thing right quick.
Go ahead, quickly.
Real quick. If any of your pastors, we invite them to come and speak to our bishop and see if they can bring forth their strong reasoning and prove what we're saying is untrue. All right? So if you got any pastors in the Bahamas, I
have my Bishop Ellis come and with your bishop, and you can see who win that. Anyway, it's been Guardian Radio on AM. Have a wonderful day.